Gospel of John. And I don't know if anybody looked at the sermon title in the bulletin, but it says John 1 through 21. And that's not a typo. It's the entire book of John this morning, which could possibly take a while. No, just kidding. You know how long I talk, it'll be about the same. But what's going on here is we're in the almost end of our missions month, and last week we had a missionary. Today you have me. Next week we have a guest speaker. Next week is our Faith Promise Sunday, where we give out the commitment cards, where you say, I'm going to give this much per month, or I'm going to commit to give this much to missionaries. So that will be coming next week. So just a heads up on that. So I figured we'll take a break from Galatians today, since our emphasis is missions this month. And I started thinking about preaching a missions month message, because that is new territory for me. I've never preached any missions month anywhere. So you get the inaugural missions message today. But the title of the message this morning is going to be The Greatest Missionary. Greatest, we understand that term, excelling all others. Missionary, a person undertaking a mission. So that's kind of broad, right? A person undertaking a mission. So with that, with those terms defined, we're going to look at the greatest missionary ever. Jesus had a mission, and he executed it with perfection. Jesus was perfect. He is perfect. Everything he ever did is perfect. And this morning, why we're going to look at the whole book of John is because I want to follow Jesus through the book of John. I want to get a picture of what Jesus did in his earthly ministry. I want to put it all together, and I want to challenge us as individuals. Are we following the example of Christ? Are we being disciples? Are we being disciples indeed of the greatest missionary of all time? John 8:31 says, and we spent a whole year at least on this thought, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. Jesus left us an example. He left us his word. When we look at his word, we see how Jesus ministered while he was on this earth. We see the missionary works of Christ. And he says if we are going to be disciples indeed, followers of Christ for real, which I would guess all of us would raise our hands and say, I want to be a disciple of Christ. Well, if you want to be that for real, then what are we to do? Continue in his word. Continue in the example that he has given to us. So it makes sense to me to look at the greatest missionary ever, to see his example, paint a huge picture of what Christ did, and then apply that to our lives. Let's go ahead and pray, and then we will get right into John. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you will help me right now. Please help me to undertake this task, this responsibility with your help, not in my own words, not in my ideas that I've thought up or written down, but that you will lead me with your Holy Spirit. Please give me understanding. Please give us understanding. Please help us now, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. So, I'm going to ask you a favor, that you will visualize what we are about to undertake, these 21 chapters, that you will allow your minds, your imagination, to still work. I know there's a few kids in here. Some of us, our imaginations are harder to get warmed up than others, right? But I'm going to try to paint that picture, and I'm asking you to stay with me. Don't zone out, because we are covering a whole lot of words today. But paint this picture in your mind. Visualize Christ on the earth, walking with people, talking with people, what he's doing. please stay with me. This is the favor. Please stay with me and please visualize what is going on. Let's start in John chapter 1 and we'll look at verses 1 through 5. There's not going to be a deep commentary on all these verses, just so you know, because we're covering a lot. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. So here we go, we're talking about Christ, talking about Jesus Christ here. He is eternal. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Talking about Jesus Christ, eternal. He is all-powerful. He is Creator God. By Him were all things made, and without Him was not anything made that was made. So paint this picture of who we're talking about. We're talking about Jesus Christ, God, Creator God, all-powerful God. He came to this earth. Don't blow by that thought. That all-powerful Creator God came to this earth. He humbled Himself. He left the perfect, sinless environment of heaven. Why would He do that? To come to this earth. To come here in the form of a servant. Philippians 2 talks about that. Remember we said Creator, all-powerful God? Coming here to this place, filled with sin, filled with people, in the form of a servant. Not to be born in a mansion, not to live in a huge kingdom. God coming here to be a servant. So His light could shine so that He could give life. That light would be rejected. It would be mocked. It would be refused by many. This is God now coming down here to dwell with us, well knowing that He's going to be rejected, mocked, abused, that He's eventually going to be murdered. There's a picture painting in there because I want you to see how wonderful He is and where He came. And the form that He came here in was as a servant. And the verse 5 says, and where's it at? And the darkness comprehended it not. So He came here, brought the light here. And how did the darkness, how did sin, how did people handle it? They comprehended it not. They did not eagerly take Him. They did not eagerly possess Him. What did they do instead? Rejected. They murdered Him. John 1, verses 10 through 14. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So those that would take Him eagerly, those that would believe on His name, those verses tell us they would become the sons of God. It also paints a picture how Jesus became flesh. Still 100% God, yet He came here and became 100% man. So we have the God-man, 100% man, 100% God, and He dwelt among us. Why would He do that? He had a mission. His glory shined bright, and He reflected His Father's glory. And that's a theme that we'll see over and over. He was full of grace and truth. He was full of grace, giving people what they didn't deserve. That was part of His mission, giving grace. And we'll see the people He healed, the miracles He did, the people He ministered to. He's dealing with people that don't deserve that. But what's He doing? Giving grace. He always declared truth. How could He do that? Well, He is truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Verses 29 and 36 of John 1. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Verse 36, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold the Lamb of God. So thinking about Jesus' mission, Jesus came to be the sacrifice for sin. And the Jews would understand that because a sacrifice is stuff that they did. They saw that the picture of the lamb being slain, shedding its blood, that perfect sin, or that perfect spotless lamb that they would have to sacrifice for sins. They understood this picture. And here comes Jesus Christ to the earth as a lamb that would be sacrificed. The Lamb of God, innocent, perfect, pure. Think about, paint this picture, because he left all that to come to this, to die, to be sacrificed for us, to give us that grace that we don't deserve. Verses 35 through 51, we're not going to read all of those, but here we have disciples coming to Jesus, we have Jesus calling disciples. Jesus started building a team here with his disciples, training men to carry on the mission when he was gone. Because Jesus would eventually die, raise again from the dead, and ascend back up to heaven. His earthly ministry in human form, done. Now what? Well, he left a team of people, team of disciples, to carry this ministry on. John chapter 2. See how fast we're moving? Already in chapter 2. Verses 1 through 11, we're not going to read those, but it's a familiar story where Jesus performs the miracle of turning the water into wine. He displays his omnipotence. I can't do that. I can't turn anything to anything. And Jesus did the miracle of turning water into... He was all powerful in his earthly ministry. He displays his omnipotence. Verse 15... And when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them all out of the temple, and the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the changers' money and overthrew the tables. So here he's driving the money changers out of the temple. They're turning the temple into a place where they're robbing people, basically. He gets them out of there. Verse 19, Jesus answered and said unto them, Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. What's Jesus doing there? Talking about himself, prophesying of his death and his resurrection. Verse 23, Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover, in the feast day, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did. So what he is doing in verse 23, he's doing miracles in Jerusalem. Things that are impossible for a human to do, God is doing, proving his omnipotence. Proving the fact that, hey, he is 100% God. He is 100% man. John chapter 3, Jesus explains salvation to a Pharisee, Nicodemus. We know this story, right? Nicodemus comes to Jesus at night. What does Jesus do with this Pharisee? He explains them his purpose, why he's here, his mission, and he tells him how he can have eternal life. Verses 14 through 19, John chapter 3, verse 14, And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3:16, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Verse 17, For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Jesus' mission, that the world through him might be saved. And all these are falling under the category of bringing God glory, bringing his Father glory, being obedient to his Father. He reveals his mission, that the world might be saved, to John chapter 4, verse number 6. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. So what's happening here? Jesus is about to minister to the woman at the well. But while I read verse 6, did you see that Jesus was wearied? That's human. That's a specific human human thing that we face. We get weary. We get tired. What happens when we get weary or tired? We take a nap. We have a tendency to shut people out, to shut people off. I'm tired. I am done with people for now. Sunday evenings for me, you can ask my neighbor John. I like to be alone. Because I'm tired. Jesus is tired, and what's he about to do? Minister to this woman at the well. Even Jesus got tired. Jesus is going to offer salvation to a Samaritan woman. He's going to offer her living water. Keep in mind, she's a Samaritan. He's a Jew. They didn't interact with each other. It was not okay in the culture. But what's Jesus doing? Reaching out to someone who needs him. Someone who needs salvation. He's reaching out here. Verse number 9 of chapter 4. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Why was Jesus talking to her? Not because it was culturally okay. She had a need. And he was going to meet that need for her. Jesus still ministered to her. And as you read the story, as you probably know the story, this isn't a woman giving all of her effort to try to please God. She's currently in adultery, currently in her sins. And what's Jesus do? Reaches out to her. Not only that, but while he was tired, wouldn't it have been easy to just say, hey, get me some water, lady, and leave me alone? He asked for water, starting a conversation of, I can offer you living water that you'll never thirst again. Verse 26. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee, am he. Who is he? Verse 25. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. So, she's referencing Christ, and Jesus says, hey, the one who's talking to you, guess what? I'm the Christ. I'm the Messiah. He revealed himself as the anointed one, as the Savior. Verse 27, and upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman. What are his disciples doing, his followers doing? The one he's training to take on the ministry, the mission on the earth. They see him talking to a Samaritan. And what are they doing? Why is he talking to? This is what's going on in Jesus' ministry. The disciples wondered why he was talking with her. They still weren't getting what Jesus was about. He was about seeking and saving the lost. John chapter 4, verse 43 through 54, Jesus heals the nobleman's son. We talked about this a month or two ago. Here's a man that didn't yet believe who Jesus was. He believed what Jesus could do. But Jesus still healed his son. He proves his omnipotence, and he displays love, and he displays grace to someone who did not yet even believe on him. John chapter 5, moving right along. Jesus heals a lame man, and I want us to see that Jesus cared about individuals. He cared about people as individuals. Yes, he cared for the whole world, but while he was on the earth and even still now, he cares about you. He cares about me. He cared about individuals. Verse number 30 of chapter 5. I can of mine own self do nothing, as I hear I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. So what's Jesus doing? He reveals his mission is to do the will of the Father. To John chapter 6, Jesus feeds the 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Impossible task, right? Jesus does it. Jesus met needs while he was on the earth, while he was here. Everybody still here? I know we're going through details. Let that running picture flow, please. Because the application, I want us to be able to think back to these 21 chapters. What did Jesus do while he was here? What was Jesus' mission? So Jesus then walks on the sea in John chapter 6, verse 29 of John chapter 6. Jesus answered and said unto them, "This is the work of God, that ye believe on him who he hath sent." So people are wondering about the work of God. What is the work of God? What does Jesus say? Believe on me. Believe on the one he has sent. Verse 47. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life." Thankful for that verse. Jesus declares he has the power, he has the authority to give eternal life. And it's for those who personally believe on him, receive him as their Lord and Savior. John chapter 7. People doubt and reject Jesus. Not only that, but they want to kill him. For me, that's a little discouraging. Probably time to go home. What does Jesus do? He continues with the mission. He continues glorifying God. He continues to be obedient. He sticks with the mission. John chapter 8. Jesus forgives a woman caught in adultery, caught in the very act. People bring her to Jesus to judge her, to call her out. What does Jesus do? Go and sin no more. You know, he meets her needs. Verse 11 of John chapter 8. She said, "No man." Jesus asked, "Where's everybody that was condemning you?" She said, "No man, I Lord." And Jesus said unto her, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." Jesus can forgive sins. Verse number 12, Jesus declares himself to be the light of the world. His Father bears witness of that fact. Verse 28, Jesus speaks for the Father. Verse 24, Jesus gives a warning. "I say therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins." That's a pretty important warning there. And he gives the people warning while he's on the earth in his earthly ministry. Believe on me, I am the only way. Verse 29, it's a lot of page turning. "And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him." When was Jesus faithful to the ministry or to the mission? When was Jesus doing what his Father wanted him to do? Always. I do always the will of him. Verse 31. We read this verse at the very beginning. Then said Jesus unto those Jews which believed on him, "If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed." So he's telling these believers, you want to continue being my disciples? You want to be genuine followers of me? Do my word. Do what I've taught you. Do what I've said if you want to be disciples for real. John chapter 9, Jesus heals a blind man. He shows grace. He shows care. And he shows concern. Again, for an individual. Could Jesus have walked right by this blind man? Sure. He's God. But what did he do? "I care about you. I will take care of your need." John chapter 10, Jesus declares his deity. He declares the fact that he is God. John chapter 10, verse number 30. "I and my Father are one." Jesus is God. John chapter 11, verses 24 through 27. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Talking about Lazarus. This is where Lazarus has died. They want Jesus to come heal him. They wanted him to come in the beginning. Jesus tarried. Lazarus dies. People are sad. Jesus is asking her a question. Verse 25. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believe thou this. She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, which should come into this world. He declares he can give eternal life. Martha believes on him as her Savior, as her Lord. Go down to verse 32 through 35. I want you to really see this. Because Lazarus is dead. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Her brother just died. She's extremely sad. Her emotions are flowing. She's talking to God, to Jesus. If you were here, he wouldn't have died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, Where have ye laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. It's the next two verses. Jesus wept. There's the context of that very, very short verse. What is it? People were hurting. Someone they loved had just died. They're crying. The people around them that loved Lazarus are crying. Jesus sees that. He's filled with compassion. Their need, their concerns becomes his. And what does he do? He's feeling that, and he's weeping. He raises Lazarus from the dead, proving power over death. Big deal there. John 12, Jesus enters Jerusalem, asks for his Father's name to be glorified. There he is again, glorifying the Father. Verse 28, he's concerned with God being glorified. Verse 37, people are still rejecting him and still refuse to believe. Think back of all the stuff we've already seen Jesus doing. Healing people, caring about people, feeding people with impossible small amounts of fish and bread, feeding over 5,000 people. People have heard of this. They've seen him in action. What are they still doing? Rejecting him. John chapter 13. Jesus washes his disciples' feet. One of the nastiest jobs you could ever have or do. And we're talking about God. Remember the Creator God, all-powerful God, King of all, Lord of lords, coming to this earth among sinners as a servant. And what do we find him doing? Washing nasty, stinky, dirty feet. People that wore sandals all the time. Walking in dust. Gross. Gross to look at, let alone touch, let alone scrub, let alone God is the one doing this to these people. What's he showing us here? Humility. What does he then tell the disciples to do? The same thing. Be humble. Serve. Then he tells of his upcoming betrayal. He tells of the upcoming denial. He tells his disciples to love as he has. John 13, verse 34 and 35. I want you to see these verses. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. What kind of love did Jesus love these disciples with? It wasn't like, ooh, you're gross, your feet are nasty, get away from me. Unconditional love, serving love. He was compassionate. He felt their needs, and he took care of them. He acted upon seeing those needs. And he says, just like I've loved you, your job is to do the same. Verse 35, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have loved one another." How are other people going to know that you are with Jesus? How are other people going to know that you walked with God, that you're carrying on the mission? What does he say? "By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if ye have love one to another." What's the key? How does our light shine? How does God's love reflect off of us? Well, we love like he loved. We care about those stinky feet. It's inconvenient. It's not fun sometimes. A lot of the time. It requires us to care about people and to reach out to those needs. And it's day-to-day stuff. Not just the big picture where, yeah, I love everybody. Well, what are you doing when your neighbor has a need or your friend has a need or someone you don't even know needs something, you know? How are people going to know that we're the disciples of Christ, that we love one another? John 14 declares he is the only way for salvation. John 14, 6, "Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." He tells of his concern that the Father be glorified. You can find that in verse 13. He wants the world to know that he loves the Father. That's important. John 15, he gives instruction to abide in him. He tells how to glorify the Father. John 15, verse 8. "Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples." What kind of fruit is that? Well, it's reaching others, it's investing in others, and it's displaying the fruit of the Holy Spirit. That love, joy, peace, long-suffering, all that stuff. Not the stuff that is around that passage, the works of the flesh, all that stuff that comes out so much in our relationships, in our dealings with people. When that compassion isn't real, then we lash out at people and we're mean and we're just fulfilling what our flesh wants to do. Well, let the fruit of the Spirit flow through. Jesus declares his love. He is investing, he is developing his disciples to carry on the mission. He warns the disciples of future rejection. He tells them, hey, you're going to have the same battles I have. People are going to reject you. They're not going to believe your message. John chapter 16, he warns of future persecution. It's a running dialogue of instruction. He's training. He's teaching his disciples. He's investing in these guys because, hey, when Jesus is gone, these guys are carrying on the mission. John chapter 17, Jesus is praying. In verse number 1, "These words spake Jesus, and lifted his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee." What's he saying? Glorify me so I can glorify you. That's been a theme repeating. He says, goes on to say, "I have glorified you." Then he prays for his disciples. Then he prays for people who are going to believe in the future. John chapter 18, Jesus is betrayed, he's arrested, he's denied by Peter, he's falsely accused. We know that the other disciples flee him. So here he is in one of his greatest hours of need. All of his disciples, where do you find them? Gone. And Peter goes as far to deny him 3 times. John chapter 19, we have the story of Jesus being beaten, being mocked, being crucified, and then being buried. We're talking about God here again. Let's keep this whole picture. All-powerful Creator God came down here in the form of a servant, and now he is crucified. He's spit upon. He's beaten. Why? To carry out that mission to forgive our sins, to make a way for us to have a right relationship with God. He died for our sins. He proved his love. He wasn't just like, hey, I love everybody. He proved it in an ultimate way, becoming a curse for us. He stayed faithful to the mission to his death. That's amazing. The days got difficult. Time got rough. What does Jesus do? He stays faithful. John chapter 20, Jesus raises from the dead, defeating death, defeating sin, defeating hell, giving us the opportunity to have that right relationship with God. John 21, here it is, last chapter. Everybody ready? We did it, a whole book in a few minutes. Jesus does another miracle in giving the disciples a huge harvest of fish. Where, hey, do you have any meat? Nope. We'll throw your nets on the other side. So many fish, they were having a hard time getting it in, getting it to shore. Jesus gives Peter instructions. Feed my lambs, feed my sheep, follow me. Jesus asks Peter, lovest thou me? He keeps repeating it. I can imagine Peter saying, yeah, I love you. But he also denied him previously. And Jesus says, do you really love me? Well, here's what you need to do. Feed my sheep. Keep this mission going. Give them the word. Give them the direction. Feed my sheep. John 21:25. I want you to see this first as we've been painting this whole big picture. Jesus did so many amazing things that we have recorded. We just have seen all these miracles. John 21:25, and there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. Jesus had a mission to glorify God. He fulfilled that mission to perfection. He's perfect. His mission was perfect. He executed it perfectly. His mission included seeking and saving the lost, his death, his burial, his resurrection, training the next missionaries to carry on the mission. He was obedient to his Father always. That's amazing. Because it's hard to go a whole day obeying my Father always. Making him the greatest missionary of all time. Jesus was faithful to the mission at all times and in all places. Never missed anything. Faithful. Where he was, he ministered. He showed love. He showed compassion. He showed grace. He showed mercy. He showed goodness. He continued even through rejection. Even when he was tired. Even when it hurt. Even when his closest followers bailed on him, he continued the mission. Before Jesus ascended to heaven, he gave some instructions. Should be the very next page of your Bible. Should be very familiar. Acts 1:8. I'm almost done, I promise. But ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. What were Jesus' instructions to us before, instructions to the disciples, that the disciples would then pass on to us? What were his instructions? To be witnesses, and it starts Jerusalem, whole world. We've probably heard the picture painted of that, where Jerusalem is your town, and it keeps getting out wider, until we're sharing the message of Jesus Christ, the gospel, with the whole world. From your town to the whole world. I want us to think about if we are doing that. Because we can say, I'm doing that. I write that check once a month. I turn it in. Missionaries are supported. You can see all our missionaries on the back wall. You can flip through the books of what's going on. You can see that. You can say, I'm doing that. I'm reaching everybody. You can say, I pray for the missionaries. I'm helping to reach the whole world. You can even say, hey, I go to church on Sundays. I'm doing my duty to reach the world. Those things are wonderful. Giving money, praying, coming to church. I'm glad you're here today. But I don't want us to think that our missionary duties are done, that our witnessing to the world is done because we give to missions, because we pray for missionaries, because we pray for laborers, and because we come to church. I don't want us to think that we have arrived. Consider how Christ ministered. Hold that last thought in your mind. Consider how Christ ministered all day, every day. Are we doing that? Are we investing in others in our daily routine? We all have a daily routine. We all see people. We all have to put gas in our cars. We all have to somehow get groceries. We go to the store, we buy supplies. We're in and out, we're interacting with people all day, at least once a week. Do we see that where we're at as our mission? I know I struggle with this. I can be having a bad day. I can be wearied. And I cannot give the time of day to the person behind me. It's amazing how far just a smile at someone could go, because we get on our task, on our duties, and we just flow through. You know, gas is $4 a gallon, slam it in the car, griping and complaining about how much gas is. And what about the person across the pump from us? Maybe just a little smile and how you doing? Because I don't want us to miss the fact that in our everyday life, we are in a mission field. People that need Jesus. Are we kind where we are at? Are we looking to invest in the lost that we interact with every single day? Start building relationships with people. They might currently not believe in Jesus or in God or in any of that stuff. But hey, maybe if we love them like Christ loved the disciples, and we are actually letting our light shine, maybe they can see the love of God reflecting in us. Maybe through time, we'll be able to see them come to Christ. Because when you were grumpy and tired, you said, how's it going? I just don't want us to miss the big picture of Glenwood Springs is a mission field. Vail Mission Field. Rifle, Silt, Marble, Carbon. Where we are is our mission field. Don't miss it. We're on vacation, it's still a mission field. Don't miss it. John 13:34-35. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Don't miss that. Love, be kind, reach out. We are living in a mission field. We have a mission. The children's church song, be a missionary every day. Remember that? We teach it to our kids, but are we doing it? Do they see that? I believe I'm a missionary every day. Do they see it in us? I hope my kids see that I care about people. Pray for the missionaries. Give to the missionaries. but please see and react to the mission field that we are in every single day. Do not miss that. John 15:8, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. We have the love of Jesus. We have the joy of the Lord. Let's share it. Let's not walk around like we're grumpy pants when we're everywhere but at church. Let Christ's love show through us. Jesus was obedient. He was humble. He was aware. He was concerned and he was compassionate. Jesus invested in others. Jesus left us with instructions. We had the greatest example. Let's continue. Continue that mission. Let's not miss it. Please, I'm begging us. Let's not miss it. We get one crack at this life. We get one crack at letting Jesus' love reflect off of us. Let's not miss it, because it happens one day at a time. It's not like you get to the end of your life and all of a sudden you're letting your Christ's love shine. Your life is made up of individual days. Let's take advantage of every single day. Let's let God be glorified, because we are loving and caring and sharing the truth with others like we should. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for loving us, first of all. I thank you for the way that you work, that you share your word, that you share your love through us. I pray that we will be faithful daily to the mission, that we will share your love, your salvation with others, and that we will be glorifying you in that. Please help us. Please help us to truly be a body of believers that loves you and loves others like we should. Please help us to be faithful, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Please stand.